This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back onto yet another edition of the Kona Edge, and it's time to chat some biking today. I'm Brad Brown. We're joined all the way from South Carolina by Don Oswald. Don, welcome back. Nice to chat again.
Hey, Brad. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
Don, you mentioned that in the build-up to your second Ironman, you got yourself a coach, and one of the areas you worked a lot on was your bike, and you put in a ton of effort to get better. You did reap the rewards, but it's come with a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak.
For sure, yeah, definitely. Biking is, I have not really been a biker up until doing triathlon, so it was a big learning curve for me to figure it all out, and that's why I hired a coach and purchased a power meter to really help me kind of get to the next level.
The difference between the first and that second Ironman, once you had got the coach and the power meter, has it made a huge difference?
It really has. I think that sustaining a certain wattage versus just going by feel, which has its advantages as well, but being able to see where you're at, being able to not push, being able to kind of measure yourself so you're not pushing so hard so you have some legs to run on is really important in the sport. It really helps you being able to measure things. It really almost gives you a little bit unfair advantage of those that don't, just being able to measure things out so you know if you're going too hard or not hard enough.
I guess that's one of the things with power is it's not the cheapest bit of gear that you're ever going to get. And I think a lot of people, particularly who maybe aren't, I don't want to say aren't serious about the sport, but maybe who are tight financially, think, is it really worth it? Is it going to give me that bigger an advantage? But it really does, doesn't it? I mean, having those numbers and actually seeing it, what you're doing and what you're not doing, because that's probably one of the biggest eye-openers when you first get a power meter, is realizing how far off the mark you actually are.
Right, yeah, and that's so true, Brad, because being able to evaluate and know where you're at and where you want to be is important. And, it took me a little while to figure it out because, it really forces you to have a good pedal stroke and so that your numbers aren't all over the place. And so it really helps you be a lot more controlled with in your biking. It really has made me a better cyclist, for sure.
One of the things it does too, Don, is it you can see the improvements, and often over a course of a season or a year, you might not feel those improvements and feel like you're getting better, but you can see it in the numbers with your threshold tests, and you can see the numbers you're pushing, and that must fire you up to go even and train even more.
Correct, yeah. It's kind of like, when you're working your way up through an age group on your, either at a sprint or an Olympic distance or even in half, you say, wow, last year I was in 10th place, now I'm in 5th, and it just wants you, it pushes you, more in that you want to improve the more. And that's so true on the power meter, is that it gives you that glimpse, hey, I can hit higher numbers if I just work harder and I'm smart about my training. And so, yeah, it really helps you kind of reach the next level, and really has improved me so much as far as mine.
What power meter are you currently using?
It's a Quark. It's in the crank, and I've really had no issues with it at all, and it's just been a really important piece of my triathlon equipment. It really has been.
Did you find between that first and that second Ironman, even though you were training with a coach and you were training with power, did the types of workouts you were doing change much?
A lot, yeah. I mean, a lot more with the coach, a lot more power tests. But one of my, and you may ask me this, but one of my favorite workout is to just do, go out and, you know, have a 10-minute warm-up or so, but have an hour and 15-minute sweet spot ride, you know, 90% of your FTP. Trying to hold that for a full hour, hour and a half, that was, you know, the most challenging and the most rewarding, just to be able to see the improvement over the weeks and months of you know, trying and failing, and then all of a sudden something clicks and, you know, you're being able to hold that 90% for over an hour, and it's really rewarding.
One thing I'm learning, Don, as I chat to more and more age groupers, the favorite workouts are often the hardest ones, the one where you suffer the most. Do you think that's important? You need to sort of embrace the suck, so to speak, that you've got to, like, get comfortable with being uncomfortable?
You're exactly right, yeah. And that's a good way to put it, because that's exactly what I was going to say, is that, you know, you just have to realize that that's what's going to help you the most, to improve you the most, is to be in that uncomfortable place and knowing that it's going to give you the most improvement on any area, you know, swimming, biking, or running, to be comfortable being uncomfortable and knowing that, you know, you're in the pain cave for a reason. And but yeah, I totally agree with that. It does make a difference when you can realize that you're there for a reason, just not to hurt, you know, just not to go through the pain, but there's a purpose behind it.
Yeah, as they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So I guess that's a lot of the bike training we need to do. Well, Don, it's been great catching up once again. Thanks for your time here on the Cone Edge. Much appreciated. And we look forward to chatting about run next time out.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Brad. Appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Cone Edge. Get better on the bike. Register for our next free live online bike seminar. Get to theconaedge.com/bikeseminar now.